You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. In certain parts of this country, the weather is going to get a little bit better than what it's been. In other parts, it's going to be intensified. And just how it is. It's the existence of climate change. It's the existence of the things that we have to go through here in this country and around the world, you know. And that's because of some human beings who are selfish and greedy, who don't want to share, who don't give a damn about the planet, really, as long as they get theirs. And unfortunately, we're all going to suffer because of it. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program line, brothers and sisters, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There'll be programs that are titled, that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Also, too, if you want to listen to programs, all you need to do is go to your computer or wherever you on your phone to a search engine. Put into the search engine babaoshi.net. 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 And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, our story. Monday and Wednesday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., our story with Baba Wes Johnson from New Orleans. On Friday, today, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard this evening. Time for an Awakening this evening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at from 5 to 6, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist and Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program is Pinckney to Pinckney on Sunday from 5 to 6. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, it's the weekend. Living for the weekend. Yes, sir. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 5th, heads up, eyes open, and fists clenched. Brother Fred Hampton Jr. What constitutes the character of warriors in terms of the quality of their person and vision? What makes them frontline normal? Warriors should expect to make mistakes, but most importantly, they should work to systematically learn from them. Warriors study their ancestors so they can become them in principle and power. Warriors give their children no reason to doubt their integrity. Warriors are sober and straight. Warriors are righteously enraged, but do not bring that justifiable anger toward our enemies and failings into their homes. Warriors defend their homes, communities, and nation mentally, physically, spiritually, in every reasonable way and by any means necessary. Warriors provide for the resources of their family, communities, and nation. Warriors work to liberate, empower, and make their nation sovereign, practicing first at the level of family and community. Warriors carry forth the revolutionary tradition. Warriors teach their children, biological and social, to think rather than memorize, for they know that it is a quality of dynamic nation builders. And last but not least, warriors absolutely respect each other. In particular, the men absolutely respect each other. The men respect the women, and the women respect the men. Warriors never physically, mentally, or spiritually violate or demean each other publicly or privately. And because what it means to be African has become a contested area, to this list we have to add that warriors are not confused as to their sex or gender role. While there are other important qualities, how we define warriorhood now must be based on the imperatives of the reality in which we currently live and one we intend to build. Affirm, my head is up, my eyes are open, my fist is clenched. I say my head is up, my eyes are open, and my fist is clenched. December 6th. Intention things into existence. Intention things into existence. Siddiqui Bakari. Do what you do. Pay no attention to the instigations of those who are near you and who hate you, these instigators. Some know of no other meal. So, in addition to making it difficult for others to determine who is the fool instigator, to allow yourself to be actively drawn into their hatefulness on the table they set is to feed it, to actively enrage in your own work, keeping their hatred from interfering with your direction and progress is to starve it of you. And because hatred is insatiable, keeping their confusion at bay will direct it away toward another potential food source. Affirm, I make what needs to be done happen. Affirm, I make what needs to be done happen. December 7th, come to the water. All who are thirsty, come and drink. Diane Reeves. Reconciliation with our ancestors and being at peace with the fierce intensity of our righteous struggle requires both a compassionate embrace and endurance and enduring remembrance. It requires a knowing, genuinely contemplated patience with self, as well as with those of us who are not yet have the honest potential to become so. It requires that we come out of ourselves and accept that, even though we bring an individual power to the front line, we cannot become victorious alone. We are many in time and space and have the assistance of all of us. We cannot do this simply with the collective warriors we have working around the world today. We have to grasp the spiritual fact that our army extends deep in time as well, being far and wide. It crosses countless generations, past, present, and future. All warriors at every time and in every place constitute one collective army, bound by spirit. They extend beyond so far as we can think. Living warriors are the culmination and the collective of the cumulative of connection. They are the accumulation, excuse me, family. They are the accumulation of all warriors who have ever existed and the beacon for any yet to come. And the special duty of calling on the entirety of this circle of energy to bear on the enemy we face at this particular point in time, it is their turn to reach out to the Creator and all of divinity, to the spiritual source of our power, to all who are worthy but not now physically present, for strength and direction. It is their turn to go to the water and drink their fill and return at will to spiritually hydrate. Affirm, I passionately drink from the river of ancestral wisdom. Affirm, I passionately drink from the river of ancestral wisdom. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, we have a open mic today. So whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to engage in, we're going to do that. Yesterday at the Medu bookstore, Mama Nia and Brother Dr. Haru, they hosted my good brother from Public Enemy, Professor Griff. Professor Griff, great program and, you know, outstanding. I'm trying to get him on this program real soon. I'm going to work hard at that before a few weeks, hopefully. So, work hard at that. His presentation was outstanding. Yeah. And, of course, I made the announcement for Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, who's going to be here in the Atlanta area. Yeah. African Survival in the 21st Century, a 2025 lecture tour featuring Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, raw and unfiltered. No live streaming of this tour will be available Saturday, December 14th, 2024, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Doors open. I mean, you can start coming. I believe we may start around 4 to about 6:30, something like that. Mm-hmm. And at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, run by good brother Kazimde Ajamu. Yeah. So, and of course, for more information, you can contact me at 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. African Survival in the 21st Century. He's got some good warriors up there. That's for sure. Some good Africans. And so I know that, and I know Brother Irv is always positive about what happens and what's happening in Burkina Faso and in Mali and a few other countries. And that needs to happen all over Africa. Africans must embrace Africans. Put aside any tribal, I hate that word, differences to work on, you know, being the best. And so we're going to talk about that, you know, because it's an issue. It's an issue, family. In fact, I'm going to play a piece here so that might spur the discussion, because we want to talk about African survival here in the 21st century. I know that, and this is, I'm getting this from the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Mentioned this lady, she's of African descent. She was voted in on the conservative wing of British Parliament. Of the conservative wing of British Parliament. And of course, Brother Paul told us about her. Read a little bit something about her. Now you'll have a chance to hear her and hear a response about her from another sister. And I know that we always say when someone like her, someone like Tim Scott and and Donald, you know, behave the way they behave, doing the bidding of those who hate us, and they have such deep-seated self-hatred, you know. And that's consistent. I mean, even though those who know us, and even those of us who know ourselves, you know. I don't say that those of us who know ourselves would be betraying us. They may sleep with the enemy. I'm just going to put it out there and put it real, like a Frederick Douglass. And he had his own children by the Caucasian woman, his children by the African sister that he was dealing with. If you've seen the movie Glory, Andre Brower played his son. That's the one with the spectacles, with the glasses. And pretty much they all died trying to attack Fort Sumter in South Carolina. But there's so many. And Brother Umar points out, Brother Umar Johnson points out Dr. Shigata Jop. Dr. Jop, who you know, was probably the most brilliant man of the last century, along with Du Bois. Jop, if you listen to this program, you've heard me say this a number of times, how I felt about Dr. Shigata Jop and Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois. Now, I've had some problems with Du Bois, and I've stated those. The fact that Du Bois in his younger years was believing so much into what Caucasians were saying and the talented 10th concept, that there's a 10th of us who can go into the great learning, the so-called great learning institutions of the Europeans and come out and help elevate us as a people, you know. But when you go into those learning institutions, and if your mind is still not behind being African, then they take your mind, and then now you think you are better than your people, that you do the bidding for Caucasians. No, you don't think like that. And now so Du Bois challenged Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington was like, I don't care about white folks. Put your bucket down where you are and go to work and build for yourself. And do for yourself. Booker T. and Du Bois, as Dr. Clark eloquently stated, we needed both. It wasn't Booker T. or Du Bois. It was Booker T. and Du Bois at that time. And then, of course, Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was right point blank, right on it. And of course, Booker T challenged him so ugly, name calling and so forth. Yeah. And it's ironic that Marcus Mosiah Garvey never set foot on African soil. But one could consider it to be one of the premier Pan-Africanists of all time, with his love for Africa. Just as Brother Irv always says, Africa's born in me. That's what he clearly stated. But Booker T, Du Bois,
vilified and excoriated Marcus Garvey so badly, leading the FBI under the direction of, it wasn't the FBI then, it was a new department headed up by that cross-dressing ass J. Edgar Hoover, who many claimed that he was black. You know, I don't know if you ever read that or seen that. Supposedly he had some, that's why he probably hated us so much, because he was told he had it or come to grips with what it, that he had it. He had black blood. And well, shit, that's damn near everybody in the world. We're the first people on the planet. People came from us. But he hated us so bad. And he had jacked up some stuff. And that's why I was hoping that. Now, you know what? Let me say this. I don't give a damn if these crackers pardon any of our people, do any of that. I don't look for them to do a damn thing, but leave us alone. Some people said, well, they should pardon Marcus Garvey. You know, well, shit. No, who should have did it was Barack. Man, Barack. That's who should have did it. If Barack had balls, he should have had Kwanzaa at the White House. He didn't have them. He did just what them crackers wanted him to do. And then, of course, Trump. At least, who did Trump? Yeah, Trump pardoned Jack Johnson. Yeah, Trump pardoned Jack Johnson. You know. But anyway. There's a piece of this Negro of her ass in the British Parliament. And I mentioned her the other day, Brother Paul brought it to our attention, you know, and she got elected. And believe me, Caucasians love sellouts. They love when somebody opposite them embrace them so, and they can argue against their people, because they can argue against reparations. They can argue against the disparate treatment that we've been receiving. They can argue against that. Check this.
This is the past. We need to talk about the future. There are many countries now who want to use guilt to try and exploit the UK. They ask for reparations. I saw it as a trade minister. It's not culture wars. I was at the WTO. I won't name the minister from another country. And he was telling me that we needed to give up some of the things that we were doing because of colonialism and because they needed time to develop. These arguments are a scam. Don't fall for it. We need to make sure that we put this country first. We work well with our neighbors. We work well with other countries. But we have to look after ourselves too.
Would say, shouldn't we just make up for some of the damage we did through the slavery? As a black woman saying that, they may find that hard to understand from you.
Well, there are many things that the British Empire got wrong, but there are many amazing things that the British Empire also did. And we need to be honest about that and stop pretending that it was all bad. The British Empire ended slavery, the Atlantic slave trade. We need to talk about that more.
My dear Africans, we are the cause of our own problems. We are the reason why the West will never respect us. We are the reason why they will continue to exploit us. Because our own people who are in the position to speak for us are speaking against us. Tell me how they are going to respect us. Tell me how we can restore our own dignity if we have people like this speaking in this manner. My grandmother used to say something, that when you sell your brother or you sell your sister, even the buyer will not trust you. Now she believes she's British. She has nothing to do with Africa. and she has the right to say what she's saying. It's the past. Everything that happened was in the past. We should talk about the future, just like that. Well, I don't know what to say, guys, but I leave it to you. Thank you all for watching.
Well, the reality is that based upon how they are, we have no future, you know. We have no future. In fact, there's been so many people who are saying we should be happy, we should be glad of what they've done. That they brought us out of Africa. They brought us out of this primitive state. They've exposed us to their ideas, Western thought and culture and so forth. So we dress like them. We have their names. We practice their religion. We want to go to their schools. We want their women. You know, we want to be just like them. When I read periodically from some things that I have saved. One of them is, of course, is Erhon, Brother Erhon, whose book, The Sovereign Psyche. He says that there never was a people who was so messed up. I'm paraphrasing. Let me get that so you can clearly understand where that's coming from. Because that is a very good piece. You know, it really is, Brother Erhon. Mm-hmm. But now I gotta find it, you know. We got time. Not much, but we got time. I have an idea where it is, and so I'm getting to it. I can't scroll down and pass it, and I'll be looking all up and down and so forth. Can't deal with that, but here it is. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. I'll repeat. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. And that's what we have done. That's what we have done. And they're fighting continuously over it. Many of our staunch Pan-Africanists are talking about it. The once again, another scramble for Africa. The Indians are back in Uganda. The Chinese are all over the continent. The Koreans are in Africa. You know the Chinese. The Chinese are building. The Chinese built a road from Tamale, which is in the northern region of Ghana, to Moli Park, which is a park where there's a game preserve and you can go see animals. In that road they built from Tamale, because you got to take a plane. You take a plane from Accra to Tamale. And then from Tamale, you know, you chill out and then you get into a vehicle to go to Moli Park. The road, when I first went there, was treacherous. Oh, man. In fact, there was no road. The Chinese built a road. And you have to slow down when you come into some of the areas where brothers and sisters live, and some of those areas, they live like they've lived all their lives with huts. You don't see any signs of electricity or none of that. So you go through there. You go to Moley Park. But what's deep? There's another road that goes up a hill. And that's a private road. That's the road for the Chinese. And there's a building. That's for the Chinese. So when they come to Moley Park, they can view over the landscapes, view over the animals, and take tours and so forth. It's private. It's just like China Mall in Accra. Big mall. Big sign, big China Mall. The Arabs that are still in Africa, particularly North Africa. The British, the French. God, you know how I hate these Europeans. I do. God, I do. Europe is wealthy because of its exploitation of Africa. Belgium, France, England, all the gold you see, all the pomp and circumstance that you see around the British, all the jewels, all of that stolen. Stolen. And this heifer, the British did something. No, they didn't. Not a damn thing did they do good, especially for us, heifer. Not a damn thing. Here's another piece from the Pan-African Federalist Movement. My good brothers, you know, who I love, and the Pan-African Federalist Movement, Mama Nabantu and so forth, good people, beautiful people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Check this out. Biden was in Angola. In case you didn't know, right after he pardoned his son, Hunter Biden, he went to Africa. What's behind this last ditch African trip? Let the sister tell it.
Everyone has a plan for Africa except Africa. Biden in Angola. What's behind the last ditch Africa trip? This is a historic first. No U.S. president has ever set foot on the Central African country of Angola until now, until this emergency visit. It is because of an infrastructure project that's called the Lobito Corridor, and we're going to break it down. The billion-dollar railway is driving Biden's last overseas trip. On his visit to Angola, the president will stress U.S. support for infrastructure aimed at countering Chinese influence in the region, in Central Africa, in the DRC. This is from the EU's website. The Lobito Corridor connects the southern regions of the DRC, northwestern Zambia, and Angola to regional and global trade markets via the port of Lobito, there on Angola's Atlantic coast. Let's see who came up with this brilliant idea. It is the first strategic economic corridor launched under the flagship G7 Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment in May 2023. The EU and the US released a joint statement teaming up to support the development of the corridor. So this railway project is the brainchild, is the master plan of the EU and the US over its control of Congo's natural resources, over its control of Africa's natural resources. It is a second scramble for Africa between the US, the EU, and China. It is all for this critical mineral that is found in Congo. But was Congo invited to the meeting, to the G7 meeting, where this deal was taking place? Last I checked, neither Congo, nor Angola, nor Zambia are part of G7.
So how come this infrastructure project is taking place, is happening on the continent without the input, without the place is happening on the continent without the input, without the significant input of any of these countries? Also, what kind of demands did these African governments put on the EU and the US to make sure that the slave conditions that are currently going on in these copper and cobalt mines don't persist? What kind of conditions have been put on the EU or the US to make sure that they clean up the environmental disaster that they've left behind already, that has been left behind by foreign multinational companies already in the DRC and in Zambia too? Backdoor deals have been made. Politicians have filled their pockets, and the people continue to suffer. Everyone has a plan for Africa, except Africa. Things have to change. Everyone has a plan.
I say, things have to change, family. Things have to change. They must change. And they must change now. They must change now. Now, I don't expect the people who are in Congress, the Senate, or any other public office in this country. If there are some who will speak on it and speak seriously on it, I applaud them for their courage. But you took an oath to defend this country's constitution. You took an oath to work with the Caucasians and what these folks want to do. You didn't take an oath to look after the well-being of Africa. So what they do is, you may not like it, because maybe you have a level of consciousness and you may not like it, but they're going to do it. Just like they did it before. Just like they did it in 84, in 1884, 85 at the Berlin Conference. When all those Caucasian countries, all those Caucasian men came around and looked at the big, huge map of Africa, and they began to negotiate for their particular areas, for their particular plots. Not knowing that right there in the middle of the continent was the richest in mineral wealth, the Congo, formerly known as Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the DRC. More mineral wealth. And understand this once again, family. After all these hundreds of years of exploitation and domination by Europeans, and thievery, Africa is still, and the Congo is still, more minerally rich than anywhere else. And then you have Caucasians like Howard Nichols. We must keep Africa poor. We want these resources for ourselves. Because if we don't have it, we'll become poor like they were. And they'll become rich like we are. And they will do to us what we did to them. No, we don't give a damn about doing a damn thing to you. Just leave us alone. But no, you can't do that because you're so selfish, evil, and greedy that we got to develop a defense mechanism, a defense force of men and women and weaponry to repel whatever the hell you're going to do, because we are gaining our independence, our self-determination, our liberation. We are gaining our sovereignty over everybody. We have to defend that, family. That has to be defended. We can claim it, but we also have to defend it. I'm saying we must do it. You know? So we're going to take a break. Not right now. I'll take a break in a moment. Close to the hour. We got 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We'll do it before the top of the hour and then come back with some more information on the importance of African sovereignty. But I take issue with the young lady that she has to understand that when a woman or a man speaks those truths against their people, they have been whitewashed. They have been Caucasianized. They have been deeply infected with the Urugu virus. The responsibility from getting out of it is ours, but we're not responsible for implementing it. We have probably made ourselves easy hosts to the infection, no doubt. But that's over hundreds of years of Caucasian indoctrination, Urugu indoctrination. So no, I don't ever blame us, family. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on the perpetrator, on the instigator, on the manipulator, on the persons and the culture, on the culture that initiated it. And you can't tell them a damn thing. They suffer from what, family? That's right, cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. What that is that they believe that they are superior. And ain't a damn thing that you can say, even though there's so much information, so much to prove that they are not. But they dismiss it. They ignore it. They kick it to the curb because in their mind, they are superior. And they do everything from that vantage point. That's why, to me, you know, what I have problems with Umar Johnson too, family. I know my brother. I know him. Known him for many years now. Brought him to Milwaukee. First seen him on the Hidden Colors series. I'm like, man, who's this brother? He's spitting fire. You know, I mean, he's running it. I don't know if I heard him in Milwaukee first. I do know we had the Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters. We had a hall, and we brought him to Milwaukee a few times. Yeah. I brought him one time, and then me and Sister Cheryl brought him again, you know, put him up the whole bit. Yeah. So he knows who I am. I know who he is. And I told him that time around the New Year's time, oh, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago, me and Kwaku, we went to the Shrine of the Black Madonna for the presentation, you know, and when it was over, I said, man, you've got to have integrity, man. You got to come clean. People, I mean, this was the time of the conscious stripper, the conscious stripper, you know, his father was saying stuff about him on, what was the vehicle, whatever. And all of it didn't look good. But there's an element of young people that he has that embrace him. And to some degree, I'm happy about that. I'm not happy about the negative things, but the African-centered consciousness and looking at things from an African-centered perspective and moving that direction, yes. And you have to admit, if you don't, but if you listen, he articulates it very well. Brother Umar Johnson articulates it very well. But over these many years, him developing this school has been like a con. I remember when he first brought it out. He talked about it. And in fact, when he came to Milwaukee that one time when me and Cheryl brought him, that was the main focus, was the school and the book he had just written and the fact that he wanted the sisters, particularly, and brothers to develop these programs in their particular community to challenge what the Caucasians were saying about our children and needing medications and special programs of ADHD and all this whole kind of stuff and special education. No. I agree. But to me, when you take strong positions, you have to stand on strong foundations. And it's easy. And there's been a lot. If you go online, there have been many people who mock him and who ridicule him and who challenge him. It's sad. It's sad. Because to be the true and real prince of Pan-Africanism, you have to exemplify that. I hate that this has happened. I told him, I said, man, you got to, you know, just stop right now. Come clean, brothers and sisters. This is how much we got. These are the people who I'm working with. We're going to open the doors at this time. We're going to work real hard to make that happen. There has been so many times he has said this, and it didn't happen. None of it. It didn't happen. People have given hard-earned money, myself included. I wouldn't give my brother a dime. In fact, at one time at the Shrine, you know, it was a charge. It was a good crowd, you know. I'm not sure what the breakdown was, but I paid. Brother Kwaku paid. We gave a chance to get in to hear Brother Umar. Brother Umar Ifatunde. You know, and I respect that. I'm not going to call him Umar Johnson, like so many do it so emphatically and so disrespectfully. But is he worthy of an African name with the kind of behavior? Think on that. Yeah. You know, so we'll see. Let me get my good brother, Brother Irv. Good afternoon. Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
Baba Oshi, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing, brother?
It's good to hear your voice.
You
brother.
Too. You too.
Yeah, I just got to the gym, and I turned you on because I wanted to get some fuel in my tank. In other words, my tanks are running low, so I've turned on.
All right. That's a good thing, brother.
Yeah, that's right. With some African perspective.
That's right.
That's all I
need. That's right.
Brother, I listened to the replay of Elliot's show last night.
Okay.
And listened to the brother. His name was Wilbur Leon.
Oh, Wilbur Leon. Yeah, Wilbur Leon used to be on BET. He's out of the D.C. area. Yeah, right. I liked right. his perspectives. He was one of the I few people that, what's that no-neck cat? Damn, why does his name escape me? Roland Martin. He's one of Roland Martin. Right. When Roland Martin was hosting his program on BET, you know, or on yeah. with, yeah. Yeah, Wilbur Leon.
Well, he's a fraternity brother, but a fraternity brother called in the show.
Okay,
I don't think he understood where he was calling. I think he called in the show and said that, you know, they had a secret meeting in Atlanta, Biden talked to the. This was way back.
Okay, yeah, the Divine Nine.
And they talked to the Divine Nine, and Divine Nine got Biden over the hump. And since that happened, they have a room up in the White House where the Divine Nine brothers can go. They have a room up there where they can go in that room when they get to the White House. And the guy was saying, well, what institutions have you built? And what banks have you? I mean, he said pretty much the same thing that Umar Johnson says about the hip hop culture.
Yeah.
You know, what institutions have you built with all this money you supposedly made and all this smartness that you're supposed to have?
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you done more for the people? And then, of course, when people get back into a corner like that, Baba Oshie, they say, well, everybody else ain't doing nothing. Remember when you were in the fire department and the cat would come in late? And he goes, well, everybody else come in late. Well,
yeah.
You know, Baba Oshie, we're not talking about everybody else.
We're talking about you
right now. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it was interesting to hear how he's a frat brother. Mm-hmm. He said, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we have not done anything but for ourselves. We say we're helping people, and they do things, but then they just help themselves. They live in good houses. They live in nice neighborhoods. They're talking with the president. But what have you done for your people? What have we done collectively that we can look back on other than attempt to integrate into these people's culture? And we want to integrate. These are integrationist organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Baba Oshie, I don't see anything wrong with a nationalist or a pan-Africanist. I don't see anything wrong with building nation building and true nation building. Don't just say it. Jesse Jackson used to say nation building, but he never did it. He never promoted it. So, Baba Oshie, I think that we as a people need to have a and the brother was absolutely right the other day. We need to start writing these things down to leave this written legacy, just as our ancestors did in Egypt. Mm-hmm. When we're gone, because we're on the other side. I saw something the other day about the people who have passed away, the Gregory Hineses Gregory Hines and his brother, those people, and James Earl Jones. We could go all day talking about the people who've gone on to the other side, and you know, like I know, when an elder dies, a library dies.
Yeah, a lot of wisdom is gone.
Yeah. Mm. So we want to make sure we don't take the library with us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure we leave, as Dr. Ben did, Dr. N. Henry Clark did,
Rinoco Rashidi.
As Rinoco did, he left. Even if you can't read, you can look at pictures.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. That is for sure, brother. He's a photojournalist. He documented the physical presence of African people around the world. No doubt about it.
Around the world. So there's no excuse for you not to seek the knowledge that you yearn for. Because I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, once you open that book on your African history, or your Afrocentric mindset, you will realize that these things were purposely and strategically removed from history.
Yeah.
I thought it was done by a mistake. You know, we can say what we want. I didn't see that.
Right.
No, you saw it.
Right.
And you purposely said, I can't have you American Africans running around here thinking that you built something that you can take care of yourself. You know you need white folks to give you a job.
Yeah.
And Louis Farrakhan has been preaching for years, and Elijah Muhammad, do for self and kind.
Yeah.
Now, define what kind means.
Yeah.
Is that black people who don't want no help? What is kind? See, we have to. John and Dr. Henry Clark was absolutely right. We have no friends. But what John Henry Clark did not say, Baba Oshie, and you may not agree with me on this, he did not say we don't have allies.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say that. And you have to cultivate allies.
Well, I agree. There could be some good allies. But, you know, just like they said, they may not be a protecting friend. They may, you know, because they're out really outside. If you want to help, Yeah, give me the help. You know, I appreciate it. But at times, for decisions to be made, mm-hmm. we close ranks. They're not in that.
That's right.
They're not in that process.
Come
that
on,
is
man.
All us. That is clearly all us. Culture. And anyone caught being outside of us as a traitor, we have to deal with them justly. And if that means eliminate them, it is eliminating them. Because that's our problem. We have too many. I mean, one of the problems that was, you know, on that situation on the so-called plantation was stooges, mm-hmm. was, you know, mm-hmm. was overseers,
what?
Was snitches. You
Come
know.
On now.
So we got to eliminate that. You either you in the house, as Dr. Clark said, either you in the house or you out of the house. If you're in the house, we go over here. If you're out of the house, stay over there.
That's
we can't just stay over
that's
there.
What happened, that's what happened with every slave revolt. There was someone,
yeah.
Even with Nat Turner, mm-hmm. someone who came and said, you know what they're doing over there, boss.
Right.
You know, I want an extra piece of chicken. And
yeah. Yeah.
Butter biscuit. Butter. Mm-hmm. And that was because the culture that we live in is a culture of competition. Mm-hmm. It's not a culture of cooperation. They appear to be cohesive, these Caucasians, but they fight each other at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
How do you call yourself a brethren? And the only time you come together is when they do the fake 9/11 thing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, or you do the fake shoot Trump thing.
Yeah.
Come on now. All that's fake. You know it.
I
believe it's fake.
No, I know it's fake. Especially the 9/11. and especially that Trump thing. That was a whole setup too. But anyway, I'm going to take a break, brother. And when I come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with my good brother
yes.
Irv Lewis and many others. And so it's an open mic. It's an open mic Friday. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to play a little something, and then we'll bring it back. Oh yeah, this is a Saturday. This is a Friday night kind of piece here. This is Chicago Shakedown. Stepping.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, stepping music here, man. Hand dancing, if how you want to call it. It's all of it. Okay. Brothers and sisters, you're listening.
Put my dancing shoes on.
That's right. Put them on and move. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media. Part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shakedown, Chicago Steppin'. That's a Friday song, ain't it, family? You sure enough is. They're going to be at the clubs tonight. You know they are. You know, if you want to check that out, that piece out, go to YouTube, Shakedown Chicago Steppers, and then your other brothers and sisters, you know, in their hand dancing and bopping and stepping and all the other things that you say that we do, and we do. I love it. I love how we do it, but man, I just wish we could do it on a serious basis, working together. Developing programs, and everybody who's responsible for whatever they're supposed to do, they do it, and they do it in a timely manner. Man, and we can. I have that idea, I always have it, and you can tell me nothing less. I believe in African liberation. I believe in African sovereignty. It is our only salvation. So we're going to, let me play this. You know, it's one thing at the something I have not played in quite some time, you know. And here we go.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with, is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Now. Now, brothers and sisters. Now. Not tomorrow. Now. Let's work together. Let's make it a reality. Let's pull our resources. Let's come together in like-mindedness and control the continent of Africa for African people. We're nowhere on this planet is African people in control of anything. Everywhere we are, we're relegated to the low economic status of that country. Everywhere. That's why we must come home. Whatever talents you have, whatever abilities you have, come home. Come home and share them. Not that you become rich. I don't give a damn about billionaires, millionaires. I care about living a clean, good life and sharing knowledge and assisting those. When they talk about Kemet, one of the things they talk about was the fact that there was a that it lasted so long because why? There were no, yes, later on there was instabilities and internal squabbles, but basically when it was strong, when it was vibrant, when it was, that meant that everybody in the society was doing well. Everybody. They took care of those who had the least. Everybody was fed. Everybody was housed. It was hard. It was hard for many to believe that the monuments, the temples, the tombs, the pyramids were not built by slaves. Because that's the kind of thing that happened in the West and other parts of the world. Subjugated slave labor. No. It was built by the people themselves to in honor of their gods, in honor of their leadership. And was built by knowledge and the sharing of that knowledge. I saw in the on YouTube on Facebook this piece that, you know, they just tripping. I don't understand why a lot of people don't want to watch or haven't watched or need to watch Great Pyramid K 2019 because it shows an irrational sense. Now, it may not happen like that, but in a rational sense, how the pyramids were built and who built them. But in this thing off of Facebook, they have these giants. First, they had these weird-looking giants about a year or so ago, a few months ago. Weird-looking. Now, they have these real muscle-bound giants. I mean, these cats are just huge men. And they pick up the 2 tons, you know, 1 ton. Is 2,000 pounds. 2 tons is 4. 3 tons is 6. 4 tons is 8. 5 tons is 10,000 pounds. And more and more. So when you see the pyramids, you can see one stone that is not divided. It's one long stone. Probably weighing about 10 to 12 tons. 10 tons. 20,000 pounds. 20,000 pounds. There's no barge that could hold that, especially at that time. Brothers and sisters, we have to use our rational minds. More importantly, we got to use our hearts and our minds to get ourselves up out of this. This is our responsibility. We look for no one to do what we must do for ourselves. No one. And we especially don't look towards the oppressor. Because the oppressor has never given the oppressed all the things that they need to end their oppression. It is not in them to do so. It is not a benefit for them to do so. We have Europeans who are selfish and greedy, and look at their history. That's what you got to do. We, unfortunately, because they have written their history, and it's, every society has that right to do so. And of course, if you write it, you're going to glorify yourself. You're not going to put all the ugly, nasty, doggish, devilish, evil, scheming things into that history to expose yourself to who in the hell you really are. You're going to put a good face on it. You know, you're going to put glowing remarks and incidents. I remember when I was looking at a history line, everything that the European did, this is coming out of an almanac, was marked by war. Marked by a battle here, battle there. Marked by war. It wasn't marked by achievement overcoming things and building things and no. It was marked by conquering. It was marked by death. Brothers and sisters, we have. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have an open mic Friday, and my brother's with me, as he is all the time. And I appreciate him so much. I really do, because there are times when I, for whatever reason, I might not be able to, you know, be here with you, but he steps in, and he is, and he does an outstanding job. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, thank you, Baba Oshi. I appreciate you.
No, thank you.
Baba Oshi, as you were speaking really quickly, I know I'm going to get other calls and other people that are listening but want to speak. But as you were speaking, I was thinking, freedom will not be given. So let us, as a people, stop saying they got to give us freedom. They got to give us reparations. They got to give us. No, freedom will be taken. No one gives up. If I got something going on that's good for me, I'm just going to stop doing it and give it to you. That doesn't work like that.
That don't happen. That ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen, bro.
That's not going to happen.
That's human nature.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And when you're dealing with the Rugu who has a mindset of conquering,
right?
Like you say, everything a Rugu has done through force. He's done through pillaging and raping and stealing and taking and all these things that a Rugu has done, because when there ain't no good in you, then you teach people not to be good. So you've taught this to your children. Your children are a reflection of your vision. You know, it's just like when I keep referring back to the employment that I had in the fire department. The Albert Fire Department reflected the vision of the leadership.
Right.
So when you see young people acting a damn fool with guns and shooting people and killing folks, walked up to a man the other day in New York City and shot him in his head. A CEO just shot him in cold blood because he didn't look at him as a human being. He didn't look at him as a human being. But if you'd have shot that boy, that shot this white man, who was a CEO, if you'd have shot his mother, that white man that shot that man, he would have cried like a baby. But he didn't see that man as a human. He saw him as an adversary. And that's what white people see you as, an adversary. You don't count as nothing. And that's why they're able. You can't hurt something that you love, Baba Oshi. That's why when you get in a relationship, you can't. You keep going back to the woman when you're young. We got mad last night, but I'm going back to her because you love her. Right. You keep going
There's
back,
a connection
brother.
There. You know, and you got to learn how to work out those differences, learn how to sit down and calm yourselves down, take a deep breath and discuss it rationally, to discuss it wholesomely and hopefully lovingly with respect towards one another. I just read that just in YSSM, that men must respect women and women must respect men in order for this thing to happen for us. We need each other. I begin the program with that. You know, that's who we were. We've always had a relationship, a symbiotic relationship between men and women. It's the Urugu, it's the European that's always hated women.
And Baba Oshi.
And that's the reason for all this homosexuality.
That is starting to show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is starting to show where Urugu hates women. First of all, you make a woman subservient to you. You make a woman, put her in the back seat. When you look at an Egyptian, any type of Egyptian statue of the king, they're sitting beside
each other. They're sitting beside. Yeah. The woman may have her arm around him in support of that man. Not in the back, not in the foreground, beside. And I think that's one thing that when the Europeans, particularly the Greeks, came into African society that didn't understand and didn't appreciate the fact of how we treated women, how women had equal rights within the society. equal ability to own property and to determine things. We had at least three, with, of course, one major pharaoh or king or ruler, Queen Hatshepsut, ruled 21 years as pharaoh, Queen Hatshepsut. So, no, we've always had a respect for women.
Mm-hmm. But the Irugu has taught you, because you're trying to integrate into Irugu's culture, you want to integrate into the society that where you live, they are teaching you that you can't have that type of thinking. You have to think like me. You mm-hmm. have to look like me. I don't see black men putting on these wigs so their hair looks like white men, but I see our women putting on wigs so their hair looks like white men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because they understand. Rugu understands a few things. He understands that the breakdown and the complete destruction of the black family is how you destroy a people.
That's right. And that's
you're
vital.
Not destroying by taking their money.
Right.
You destroy their family. And now my son's running around here trying to be like this little white boy. Well, when did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that happened while you was at work, Daddy, because I was watching TV, and you know, on Sesame Street, they told me that there's 35 genders. Huh? Who told you?
and I keep
coming back to that, and I know some people may say, well, you always harp on that, and I do, because that is the foundation of who we are, our mm-hmm. family.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, but even in the Irugu's Bible, it says go forth and reproduce. It doesn't make sense what they're buying into or what they want you to buy into. And then you come to my homeland, which is Africa. I have a homeland too, just like you do, my homeland. And you want them to go along with this foolishness that you're talking about in order to get aid. I don't need aid. Who needs aid? I don't want aid. You're building a... Biden comes over. We're going to build a rail system. You're building a rail system so you can put... Is it for people or is it for resources? What's it for? It's for you to take these minerals up out of it, this lithium up out of here for your batteries. It ain't to move people around. So what are you talking about? You've been here for 200 years and you haven't built... You've built what? You built one hospital, two hospitals, maybe but the school that you built, you're making them teach this is French. Why are Africans speaking French, Baba Oshi? I don't understand that, brother.
Yeah.
Why are we teaching
or English?
Why do you have
any other European tongue? And it is the first language of that country. It's the first language, French, in Senegal. It's the first. In Ghana, it's the first because it's most widely spoken. Yeah, there's three. There's other languages, Fanti, the other languages, but it is English because of what has happened to us over the times. Yeah. I'm on a few more callers, brother. You just hang on, okay?
Yeah, do that. I'm on. You know I'm listening.
Right on.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm all right, Oshi. How you doing, brother? Just got an opportunity to turn in, tune in. So I said, man, Ralph had hit me up. What's the discussion for this?
It's open mic, brother. It's open mic.
Okay,
but it's open mic, but I'm talking about, you know, how important it is for Africans to embrace one another, to trust one another, to believe in one another, to share one another, to respect one another, to love one another, to close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves, to control our resources, to control our land. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I talk about all the time, don't I?
That's it, brother. Oh, I mean, the reality is this, man. If we as a people stop loving the white man, we'd be all right. We'll be able to make it and move forward as a people. But the thing that's holding us back is this love of the white man. We just love him too much.
You're trained to do that. You're trained to do that.
Just like speaking French.
Yeah.
It's just like speaking any language that is given to you by your oppressor. I mean, it is what it is, bro. I mean, there's nothing more really at this time that we can say. You have to have a commitment to being African. You can't have a commitment to being European. And unfortunately, we have that commitment.
Right.
You know, we just basically don't want to hold this cracker accountable. If we would just hold the cracker accountable, maybe we would be in a better position, because it's not like it's going to get any better.
And it's not.
If you look at the way things are moving forward in this country, it's basically going to become an economic disaster by the end of 2025 if certain things come into play. I mean, I see this situation getting crazy. You just saw how they killed the CEO of a healthcare industry. There's so many people that are just being decimated.
But look at the healthcare industry in this country. All around the world in Western countries, Australia and England and France and so forth, healthcare is what? Free. It's free.
Yeah.
Except here, more people go bankrupt and file bankruptcy because of healthcare. Healthcare.
Yeah.
And so the deal is this. The reason why that they didn't give that kind of healthcare to this country as opposed to all the others is racism. You would think it would be the same thing in all these other countries that would happen here, but it didn't happen here because of racism. And what do I mean? They didn't want to give it to your black ass, to your African ass. They didn't want to give it to
you.
So they denied all the other. So they denied all the other middle class and poor white folks the same problems that we have in trying to deal with the healthcare system, and how we're denied care.
Why don't we be honest and just say that the white man don't want your black ass to have nothing?
There it is. I say it.
Why, Jay,
I say it all the damn time.
Turn around it. The white man don't want you to have nothing.
Not
he
a
don't
damn
want
thing.
You to live.
Listen, man.
Yeah. He just basically wants you to slave for him.
He wish your ass would disappear because of the technology that he have today. There ain't no more cotton to pick. There ain't no sugar cane, nothing like that. Automation. He's into automation.
If the truth be told,
he wish your ass would disappear.
They ain't got no use for your black ass.
They ain't got no use for your ass. The only use you have is to be that buffer between those crackers who have so much and the other crackers who don't have much. Okay?
The bottom line is this. If we don't start doing for ourselves and taking care of each other, we just gonna be in the world of trouble. It's that plain and simple, because ain't nobody coming to save us. Who coming to save the black man? You know anybody that's coming to save the black man?
No. Ain't nobody gonna save us but us. Ain't nobody, listen, the problem is that the Negroes here don't understand. It's like when you have ADOS, the descendants of slaves. I even hate that shit. I hate, because, no, we ain't African. So there's no allegiance, no alliance, because the real connection is us and the brothers and sisters on the continent where the resources are. That's the real connection. The brothers and sisters in the diaspora connecting with the brothers and sisters on the continent, kicking the Chinese out, kicking the Arabs out, kicking the damn Indians out, kicking them, the Europeans out, all of them out of Africa, and let us come together and educate ourselves. Let us build those roads and build those ports. And here you have Biden going over there into Angola saying this program is important. This program ain't important in terms of human development in Africa. This program is important to exercise the minerals from interior of Africa to the ports so we can get it, and we can get it cheaply. This is a damn shame. This is colonialism again. Damn it. We need leadership. We need African. We need the kind of leadership like that brother is in Burkina Faso. We need leadership.
The Negro need a good white woman to lead them. That's all. That's the only thing that
a good white. Stop it, Jay.
To lead them.
Stop
or,
it, Jay.
Or even better. Oh, they need a homosexual. A homosexual.
Stop it, Jay.
That's what they. You just said Ados. Who's the so-called authority who put that nonsense out? A homosexual, a dyke,
a twisted sister,
right there with you in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yvette Cornell.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. We can't be taken serious. But go ahead and
Baba Oshie.
Go ahead, Jack. I mean, Irv.
Baba Oshie, let's bring it home, brother. For real. We all know the problems, but the reality is, the Arugu is the cotton field has turned into the prison complex.
Prison industrial complex.
The mindset, and let's be clear what we're talking about. When you say Negro, Brother Jay, I agree with you 110% on what you're saying, but we're talking about the integrationists. We're talking about the black people who will never, ever stop trying to integrate with his white brother. I don't care if he has to wear a dress, high heels, and lipstick. He's going to integrate with these Caucasians. He's going to go along to get along, get in where he fits in. He's not going to stop. He's been, his father's father told him that we are to be here to blend in with this. We're like what the white folks tell you when I was small, a melting pot. We're all from all different places, and we're all going to come together and make this thing called an American. But what they leave out, Baba Oshie, is how they genocided the Native American. What they leave out is why are we so beholden to Israel? Why do Israelis have dual citizenship? What other people in this country have dual citizenship? Let's talk about what's really going on.
Yeah.
Because it's much deeper than healthcare.
Yeah. Well,
the white people, I'm so serious. They will cut off these white folks in these trailer parks and these white folks in West Virginia and Kentucky and Alabama. They will live in dirt to keep you under their foot.
Mm-hmm.
And look, more white people on welfare than black people. So why would you stop welfare? That does not even make sense. But let's keep it 100. Donald Trump is a microcosm, if that's the right word, of what this country is. Donald Trump is who they are.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Exactly.
He didn't come.
A con
the same
man. A
white
thief.
People. Come on.
Con, yeah.
The same
Listen,
white people you are talking to. Go ahead.
Let me catch some other callers. We got a few more callers.
Yes,
let me catch,
please,
okay.
Please, go.
All right,
go,
brother.
Go,
appreciate you. All right. Good afternoon.
Good evening, good afternoon to you,
brother Paul.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
You're okay,
hey,
brother.
I'm doing fine. Let me. Since you're on here, and you know, I already played her, but let me read this so we can get an understanding of who this. Come on, family. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is Kimmy.
Kimmy
Badenoch in a speech that she did at a Black History Month in the UK. And I want to speak about a dangerous trend in race relationships that has come too far too close to home to my life. It is the promotion of critical race theory, an ideology that sees my blackness as victimhood and their whiteness as oppression. I want to absolutely make this absolutely clear. This government stands unequivocally against critical race theory. The same schools have decided to openly support anti-capitalist Black Lives Matter group, often fully aware that they have a statutory duty to be politically impartial. What does that mean? That means that they don't want Black Lives Matter. They don't want critical race theory. They want the education and all the things that have happened in the UK that you, that brothers and sisters in the UK have been up under to maintain and sustain the privilege that those in the ruling class have obtained for themselves. They don't want to talk about what has happened in the past. They want to go to head in a better future with Caucasians running everything. Nah, I played the piece, other piece that you know, that I got from the Pan-African Federalist Movement on her. So I mean, this is ridiculous, Brother Paul.
Yes, critical for those who doesn't quite grasp the concept. As I understand it, critical race theory, according to Wikipedia, is an academic field focused on relationships between social conceptions of race and ethnicity, social and political laws, and mass media. Critical race theory also considered racism to be systematic in various laws and rules, not based only on individuals' prejudices. The word critical in the name is academic reference to critical theory rather than criticizing or blaming individuals. That's according to Wikipedia. Okay. I don't know how correct that is. But, you know, what I found interesting and why I sent you that is because she made that speech in the House of Parliament. And I remember it being in the paper. Okay. They blew it up in the paper and the media. Yeah. The mainstream mass manipulating media, as I call it. But what I'm saying is, what struck me is that, you know, being adverse to this kind of information, being, you know, having an interest in what happens to black people on the planet and taking a keen interest with this technology to just look into it. And even write, you know, thanks to Bubba Butch for talking about writing, because he's correct. And by the way, Bubba Butch, I've writ so much work, it's untrue, it's crazy, it's like lunacy at the amount of writing I've done, but I've not published anything. But I've got notebooks like it's going out of fashion. And I do that for my own, just to collect my own thoughts rather than have them go around in my head. But I thank him for that. But what I'm saying, Baba Ochi, is this, yeah? Is when she made that statement, I know most people, the average person, is not aware of, haven't got a clue on this side of the water what critical race theory is, has no idea. And obviously, like it's pointed out in Wikidemia, it's really an academic narrative, yeah? And I wouldn't guess most Americans even know what it is, but they hear it.
And you're right again.
It's an academic study.
Right.
Yeah, and it's an attempt to classify something that comes out of sociology. I totally get it, and it's real, yeah? But what gets me is, here we have a woman of, as I understand it, she's let's describe her as an African woman, black woman, who's born in the UK, who grew up in Nigeria. She's of Nigerian parentage, yeah? Well-educated, came back to the UK as a teenager, made her way through academia, done some trivial jobs, and went into politics. And this is the statement she makes. Man, I tell you something, every time I hear it, it turns my stomach. It really hits me in the gut. Because this is the type of energy we have a real problem with. It's not unique to her as an individual.
No,
or
not
none
at
of
all.
These individuals.
No, not at all.
It's a particular... I'm telling you, I've looked at this. I've written this. You know, I'm not going to profess I'm no major academic, but I'm a good thinker. And I look at this, and I'm saying, this is an energy. This is a persistent energy that in this day and age, we cannot continue and pretend to ignore like it doesn't exist, or just let it go over our head, or just pray for forgiveness, or whatever other nonsensical operation we want to do. We have to have a plan to take hold of this. You know what I'm saying? Because look, what she was actually doing, like I say, most people don't even know what critical race theory is. But here's this woman, right, African woman, going into the mind of the beast and pre-warning her puppet masters of any, you know, warning them of any advance, anything that we may pick up on, which is progressive for us. You understand what she's doing? And that's what got to me. I said to myself, look at it. You know, she's talking there, but most people don't even know what it is. But she is pre-warning her patriots and her her puppet masters and whoever else, she, and her paymaster generals, of any anything we want to pick up. Obviously, I was aware of it because I was listening. I'm tuned in. I hear it from platforms like this, from yourself and others. Right? And I look it up and I get to understand what's going on. But this is the level of deceit we have. So how do the people stand a chance with people like this? How do they stand a chance?
They don't.
And that's the question I ask myself. You know, because the really and truly, most people are just going on from day to day. They're trying to survive, you understand, from day to day with the pressures and the assassinations and the attacks from the system they get. You know, I'm just going to round it up with this. I'm not going to take much longer, yeah? You know, it ties in with something. I pay attention. So we got, I'm not 100% sure as I speak to you, if the police, the Metropolitan Police are the police responsible for London. And they're apparently the biggest police force. They're all divided up into different sections, but the Metropolitan Police are the police which run London. Okay, they're the biggest number per organization in the whole of the UK. And they were under special measures. Like I say, as I speak to you, I'm not 100% sure if they're still under. I think they are. Now, two reports have been written. And those reports, right, were sanctioned by the government, the UK government. And the first report was written after a racist murder of a young black male by some racist lunatics who chased him down, two of them, and they're running for their life, caught them up, them stabbed them to death and killed him by stabbing him and hacking him to death, okay? You know, his mother and his father chased it diligently. The police tried to cover it up. Apparently, his father turned out to be a police informant, some gangster police informant, so the police were tied in for some money ranks, all kind of nonsense, yeah? But long story short, his mother and his father diligently took on the authorities, and they had laws brought in and laws changed or whatever, whatever. But a report was made by the government and by a senior lawyer, what we call a QC, Queen's Counsel at the time. Now they're called King's Counsel, but they're senior lawyers. And that law said that the police, this is a white man, a senior lawyer, one of their people. I think he's a lord in high up in their politicky game, yeah? He wrote a report saying that the police are institutionally racist. Mm. Now, more recently, another report was written as a result of a policeman. Listen to this. During the COVID, a policeman, white policeman, showing his warrant card to a white woman, right, tricked her, told her that she shouldn't be out in during the COVID time. Some crap he told her. And tricked her, took her to his home, raped her, murdered her and chopped her into small pieces. If you think I'm making up, go on and look at this. This is a policeman, and not just an ordinary walk the beat policeman. This is a policeman, right, who was apparently given some sort of special protection, so he carried firearms on war. So he's got a higher ranking, yeah? That's what he did. Okay, so after that now, the women start going crazy. He chop up this white woman, rape her, murder her, and all this crazy business, yeah? So they wrote another report, right? And that's what put them in special measures. Now, hear what? This is how crazy ass these people are. So the police officer, senior police officer who was brought in to look over the situation and change it all up and get rid of the lunatics and the rapists and the pedophiles or whatever, yeah? He's saying, after two reports have been written by their own people, senior people, he's saying, oh, he don't believe that the police are institutionally racist. Now, what kind of people are we dealing with? You've chosen two senior people from your own ranks who have written two reports who suggest that you are institutionally racist. That means the institution from its foundation is a racist institution. But yet, you idiot, who's supposed to be this senior policeman with all your academia, are suggesting that the police are not institutionally racist. Are you a total idiot? And that's the people we got. These are the people we got leading us. Look, you know what? Sometimes I think I've woken up in an alternative reality because whatever these leaders are, they are total. The education has done them no good because they are total idiots. I'm just saying it. I mean, who can dispute it? I mean, you chose those people. Those lawyers, right. Senior lawyers, to write those reports, and they both said in their reports that the police have, and they got misogynistic and all the other words they put in their report. But yet you come along supposedly to sort them out, the institution, and you're saying that they're not repeated. This is the madness we're under. And you see where we at?
Yeah. Well, that's like that. That is that way where Caucasians are and they're in control. They're in. They're part of the government. They are who they are, what they are, and who they are.
It's a global operation.
Yes, it is, Paul. Yes, it is, family. It is everywhere. Let me take another call here, Sister Habia. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Great program today, and I'm just saying Pan-Africanism Affairs.
That's right.
I was agreeing with Paul about these police. I've been feeling that they're just KKK and racist monsters, a lot of them, both of them. That's why they get that position. But, and I wanted to give a shout out to the sister that was speaking about what was going on with Biden and his escapades. She was really strong right on. Al Sharpton was on TV or whatever, radio the other day, talking about, oh, it's just so great that Biden is going over. He's going over to Africa. He's going there. He's the first one to ever do this. He's going to Angola.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. The greatest,
and all of us. You know, so he's pushing the propaganda for all the African people here in America just to be supportive of this exploitation and imperialism that they're trying to embark on.
Yeah.
You know, going back to colonialism. So I think it's good, you know, we shed the true light about what's going on. And, you know, we oppose that. Like you said, we set up Africa for the Africans.
Yeah, okay. You're right. Yep, I'm up against the time, dear. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Man, it was great.
All right. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
And by any means necessary.
Ashe, by any means necessary, family. Oh, man. All right. Bibi Fahardie. I really thank Paul, and thank Jay, and of course, my good brother, Brother Irv, and Baba Butch, who's always listening, family. I want y'all to know that. Baba Butch is always listening. Sister Habia and all the callers. And I've had some callers that haven't called a while, but Brother Kwaku has informed me that people do listen. They listen to this program, and I'm thankful for that. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great and wonderful day, family. Peace.